The Freedom Agent, the modern real estate model you need to achieve time, money, location, and mental freedom in your business and life. Written by Timothy Whittemore and read by the author. Note to audiobook listeners. All right, guys, so I wanted to pause real quick and go off script here just to give you a little bit of a preview of what to expect in this audiobook. So at the end of some chapters, there are some extra things that I wanted to give to you guys for taking the time to listen here. And usually there are things that I was thinking about that drive me in there or other stories that didn't make the book, right? So we decided to add these other sections to the back end of each chapter, kind of podcast style, just free-flowing with those ideas and everything else that were lessons learned, and also those things that just kind of popped in my head as I was reading this to you. I will also sometimes in these chapters pause and explain, but I'll let you know that I'm going off script so you know that that's not necessarily in the book. And it's because of me, you're getting the author. I get really excited and passionate about this system just because of possibilities it has for you as a listener and as the real estate agent or potential real estate agent, and what future it has done for me and what it could be doing for you. As you can see, I'm starting to get pretty excited about this now. I'm also going to get a little bit vulnerable with you throughout this book, telling you a lot of these personal stories and why it meant so much to me. So without going on any further, we'll go ahead and get into this, and I'm excited to share this journey with you, and I hope you get out everything that I've put into this. So let's get going. Chapter 1, My Story. From Burnt Out Operator to Freedom Agent. It was my first cruise. I was with a fellow aircrew member from my military days, someone I didn't know who would eventually become one of my closest colleagues and lifelong friends. That morning, we just wrapped up breakfast. I still remember the feeling of that warm breeze brushing over my sunburnt skin, the surge of caffeine hitting my bloodstream, and of course, the hangover from the previous night just slowly wearing off. We walked up to the top deck to catch the first glimpse of the island where we were about to dock. It was humid, breezy, but full of promise. I was standing near the rail as the deep blue water shimmered below us. There was a quiet moment. One of those oddly peaceful pauses where the wind, the ocean, and the hum of the ship all blend together. He started talking about his new career in real estate and how things were picking up. He mentioned how much freedom he had and how excited he was about where things were going. I was intrigued. I still wasn't convinced it was for me, but I was intrigued. At the time, I still was trying to build my cruise sales in upstate New York. I was flying part-time missions with the Air National Guard, bartending or bar-backing late in the night, and trying to get by on sheer effort and hustle. It wasn't sustainable, and deep down, I knew it. As we stood, watching the ship inch closer and closer to the port, he turned to me and said something I'll never forget. "Have you ever thought about becoming a realtor? I think you'd be really good at it." I laughed. "Me? A realtor?" As we disembarked that morning and throughout the rest of the cruise, his words stuck with me. I couldn't shake him. Whether it was his belief in me or the contrast between our lives at the time, something in me started to shift. A few weeks later, I was on a mission flying back from Antarctica when turbulence hit. Hard. You know, when you're on a really calm flight on a passenger plane and they say to buckle your seatbelt because turbulence can happen at any time? Yeah, that happened to me. Only I was in the cockpit on a military cargo plane. Within seconds and without any warning, I was in the air off my seat as we dropped about 1,500 feet. I slammed against the ceiling and crashed back into my seat. My back was wrecked. My flying career was over. That was a moment when the universe hit the eject button for me. So I moved to Florida. I got my real estate license and started from scratch with no sphere, no local contacts, just me, a cheap mattress at my buddy's spare bedroom, and fire in my gut. I worked 80 to 100 hours a week. I knocked on doors in the Florida heat and humidity, with the blazing sun beaming down. I cold called into the night with a bottle of whiskey and a list of names. The grind was brutal, until it wasn't. That year, I closed 33 deals. People called it a success story, but what they didn't see was the exhaustion behind the smile and the stress behind the numbers. I had built what I thought was freedom, but I had only created a shinier version of the same trap. As my business grew, I stepped out of production and started building a traditional team. At one point, I had 14 people on the roster. From the outside, it looked like I had made it. Inside, I was drowning. Between commission splits, overhead, and the drama that was unnecessarily consuming my time and taking away from my production, I barely took anything home. I was no longer helping clients. I was babysitting agents, putting out fires, and patching together deals. That's when I realized the system wasn't built for me. It was built for somebody else's benefit. Like most team leaders, I made the classic mistake of hiring agents before hiring support. It seemed perfectly logical at the time. If I just hire someone like me, I could double my business. Yeah, okay. You already know how this story ends. Even if I did find somebody like me, they would learn what they needed and leave. And when they did, all the effort, time, and money I poured into supporting them walked out the door too. Enter the MREA model. That's the Millionaire Real Estate Agent book, became the Bible for team leaders in the early 2000s. It taught agents to start treating their business like an actual business, not just a self-employed job. The biggest lesson? Hire support first. Build leverage before bringing on agents. So I did. I hired a transaction coordinator and an executive assistant. I shared the support with the agents I recruited. The problem was margins stayed razor thin. I was working harder than ever, recruiting, closing, training, managing, and somehow earning less. Sure, the deal count was up, but the freedom never came. Instead of building my own life back, my goal shifted to building up others. On the surface, that sounds selfless, but in reality, it was slowly tearing me apart. I was sacrificing time, family, and sanity just to keep the dysfunctional machine running. Ego and pride were the only thing keeping the train moving. So I made a decision. I would build something different, something smarter, something leaner, a business where I could still serve the clients and still grow, but without being chained to chaos. What you're about to read is that story. If you've ever felt like you were stuck in a business that owns you, I wrote this for you. Up next, you don't burn out from doing too much. You burn out from doing too much wrong. Let's talk about the real reasons agents hit the wall and how to stop it. Chapter 2. Time is your most valuable asset. Let's be real. There's a reason you feel stretched thin. Most real estate agents wear every single hat in the business. That's a marketer, scheduler, showing agent, transaction coordinator, therapist, negotiator, tech support, and janitor. Yes, sometimes literally. We buy into the idea that we have to do all of it. Worse, we take pride in it. We say things like, nobody can do this as well as I can. Does that sound familiar? It did for me too, until I realized that mindset was the exact thing keeping me stuck. Too often, we confuse being busy with being productive. We equate effort with progress. If we're being honest with ourselves, we're just clinging to control, and it's killing our momentum. The turning point. I remember a moment early in my real estate career when I was juggling 4 deals, fielding a dozen buyer questions, and trying to schedule a showing, all the while microwaving leftovers for dinner. As I cracked open a beer, I let out a sigh of relief that sounded like I had been holding my breath for about 10 hours. I finally accepted the fact that I was mentally and physically exhausted, and I still felt behind. That night, I cracked open Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell. one idea punched me in the gut. You're not supposed to do everything. You're supposed to do the right things. That was the start of everything changing. I knew there had to be a better way. I'd built this giant system that was crushing deals. However, I had no idea why I still had no time to myself. I felt like I was on a treadmill, increasing the pace and sweating, but getting nowhere. What the heck was I doing wrong? Productivity is not about what you're doing. It's about what you're doing right. Of course, you feel stretched thin doing everything from marketing to scheduling to negotiating for every single client. You'll never feel like you've ever caught up if you keep reheating Friday night leftovers to scarf down over the sink while you answer a dozen emails and look over tomorrow's already overstuffed calendar. Well, what was the answer? A time audit. I needed to find where my time was going and why everything hinged on me. From there, I could finally identify what was really going on and put together a plan of how to fix it. The time audit. If you want to take your time back, you need to see where it's going first. Every day for 2 weeks, track your workday in 15-minute increments. Yes, every 15 minutes. Then at the end of the day, categorize your task using dollar signs. $1 sign equals low dollar activity. This is admin, errands, scheduling, etc. $4 signs. These are high dollar business growing activities, such as negotiating, high trust client conversations, lead generation, hiring, etc. Then grab two highlighters. Take the first, let's use green, and highlight all the items that gave you energy. Then take the second, let's use red, and then highlight all the items on your calendar that drain your energy. Green and red are most obvious colors for the exercise like this, but whichever colors you choose, just make sure you keep track of those colors and that they're consistent throughout the next 2 weeks. You'll be amazed at what you see. Most agents spend about 70 to 80% of their day on low dollar energy draining tasks. And that's a recipe for burnout. And I'm going to go off script here for a minute. And I'm going to try to continue to do this when I have some of these things for you guys. It took me forever to do this. It took me absolutely forever to go through and actually take the time to go, yeah, I'm going to track everything, because we're so busy and we're just so full of excuses. And one of the things that I train people on how to do this is the first step. You have to figure out what's going on before you can fix anything. You can make all the hires and put different systems in there, but if we don't identify what the problem is in the first place, you can't do anything. So you have to be disciplined. This is the first step. This was the game changer, guys. Let's go. The four quadrants of time. Entrepreneur Dan Martell developed a simple yet effective way to maximize your time as a business owner. He calls it the DRIP matrix, which is an acronym for delegate, replace, invest, and produce. Dan Martell's DRIP matrix breaks down tasks into four zones, two of which make money, and two of which, as he puts it, lights you up. Draw a square, divide it into four smaller boxes, and put each of the following in one of those four boxes. Delegation, which is going to be on the bottom left. Those are your low dollar and drains your energy. Replacement, put that in the top left. It's going to be high dollar and drains energy. Investment, bottom right, low dollar and energizing. And production, that's right, in the top right, high dollar and energizing. First, place the items on your time audit that don't make you money and don't get you energized at the bottom left quadrant. Title it Delegation. These are the items that you need to delegate immediately. Next, list all the items that make you money but leave you drained of energy in the top left box, the replacement quadrant. What's the difference between delegation and replacement? According to Dan Martell, delegate means give these tasks to somebody else to do, while replace means find someone you can give ownership to these tasks to. Empower your staff by having them replace you on some important tasks that make your company money, but don't take too much of your time and energy. Third is investment on the bottom right, which is where items that may not make you money, but you do get energized, should go. Take time to work on your skills, relationships, or mindset are the items that should be in the investment box. As they may not make you money now, but they will invest in both your sanity and future business potential. And the last quadrant is production, which is where you list all the things that make your company money and get you energized. Martel suggests spending as much as 5 to 6 hours per day on these production items. Your goal? Get out of the delegation and replacement as quick as you can. Double down on production. Use investment for growth. You do not need to do everything. As Martel often says, 80% done by someone else is 100% freaking awesome. Your time is your most valuable asset. When you find financial success, you start to realize that $1 million goal really doesn't mean that much. Even a $100,000 goal really doesn't change your lifestyle much more than reaching $75,000 did. The most important component of creating a better life is not having more money. It's about having more time. Protect it like your business depends on it, because it does. Start with an executive assistant. The first hire you need isn't a buyer's agent. It's an executive assistant. Why? Because the first tasks you need to offload are the ones draining your energy and wasting your hours. Your executive assistant should immediately take over these tasks. Calendar and inbox management. Listing, input, and coordination. Research and follow-up admin tasks. Random whirlwind items that pop up. Answering emails and text messages. Personal tasks and errands. Yes, even virtually. Your job is to get out of the weeds so you can focus on high-dollar items, energizing activities that make you money and get you excited to be there. And guys, again, I'm going to jump off script here. I made this mistake so long that I had avoided hiring this position forever. I built an entire team without ever having an executive assistant. Even a good friend of mine also in the business did the same thing. And it's crazy that you can still be successful and not have this and still stay in the weeds, meaning you're perpetually busy, right? As soon as I figured this out and put the right person in place, I could do not just executive level items, but I could also, you know, give more care and give better service to my clients, as well as all the people that work for me. So this is so critical. And I hope you guys don't make that mistake like I did. Okay, let's get back into the material. The 80-20 rule, your secret weapon. Vilfredo Pareto was born in 1848 in Paris, France, to a French mother and an Italian father. Initially following in his father's engineering, Pareto shifted his focus to economics later in life, becoming a lecturer and a political dissident. In 1896, he wrote a series of essays on European economics, being credited with comparing the inequalities of wealth distribution to that of the peas in his garden. As the story goes, Pareto noted that 80% of the peas were produced by just 20% of the pods. He later applied this principle to wealth distribution in Italy, France, England, Russia, and several other European nations, finding that 80% of land was owned by only 20% of the population. In 1937, scientist Joseph Juron coined the term Pareto's principle, also known as the 80-20 rule, wrongfully crediting Pareto with the idea that 80% of the effects come from 20% of the causes. In other words, Juron took Pareto's wealth inequality research and made it the 80-20 principle universal. You can apply it to your business too. 80% of your results are produced by 20% of your tasks. 80% of your problems are caused by 20% of your team. 80% of your income is generated by 20% of your clients. Start creating your calendar around your 20%. Build systems to support it. Hire people to protect it. Ruthlessly delegate, replace, or cut anything that doesn't serve it. Take action. your practical playbook. Number one, perform a 2-week time audit to analyze energy and dollar output. Two, build your 4 quadrants of time matrix and distribute tasks into and from your audit. Identify 3 low energy and low dollar producing tasks to delegate immediately. Write your ideal daily schedule built around the production quadrant of your matrix. Begin interviewing for your executive assistant. Remember, you're not trying to get everything done. You're trying to get the right things done. The difference between burnt out agent and the freedom agent isn't effort, it's focus. Top 20% of this chapter. Burnout doesn't come from doing too much. It comes from doing the wrong things. Most agents confuse motivation with progress and pride themselves on being busy instead of effective. A time audit is the first step to regain control in your life. Track your day in 15-minute increments and categorize tasks by dollar value and energy output. Dan Martell's drip matrix helps you separate low-value, draining work from your high-value, energizing activities. Your first hire should always be an executive assistant to remove the admin chaos and allow you to reclaim your time. Apply the 80-20 rule ruthlessly. 80% of your income is driven by 20% of your task, and your calendar should reflect that. Start building a system and hiring people to protect your top 20%, not just to get more done, but to get the right things done. Up next, you've seen the trap. Now let's talk about how to escape it. Chapter 3 is going to break down the old real estate model and why it no longer works. All right, so recapping Chapter 2 here, talking about time, I think the biggest thing that I can tell people when they get into this industry or want to scale from it isn't so much about chasing the money, although it always seems that way. I came from a background, and I know most of us did, where, you know, we were making maybe less than $60,000 in our previous career. So it was always in our mind is like, hey, we got to hit that 6-figure mark. Everything's going to change, right? And then even when you hit that, you're like, oh, and then it's got to be the 7-figure or whatever. But once you start living that life and you have the money in the account, you realize that's not really what we're after at all. It's about lifestyle, right? And it's about living that life and having time to enjoy it. And this was so huge when I read Buy Back Your Time. And I saw it, and I actually had the discipline to go back and actually do the time audit to see where everything went. Because I knew in my mind, I was like, yeah, you know, I know that there are gaps and we need to fill, whatever. But it wasn't until I did that time audit that I actually saw it. And when I put that all together, I was like, yes, now I know. Now I know where these different items need to go and what type of person needs to be able to handle them. So again, guys, the biggest thing here is to figure that out. If you're already there and you're with me with it, congrats. If you still haven't get there yet, don't worry. This will still help you stack some cash as high as you want to go. But it will also give you that time back, and I believe you'll appreciate it. All right, let's get into the next chapter. Chapter 3, the game has changed. Why the old real estate model no longer works. What if the system you were using was never built to give you your freedom in the first place? Let's rip the Band-Aid off. The traditional real estate model is broken. Once upon a time, agents could succeed by sheer hustle. You knock on doors, held open houses, answered every phone call, chased every lead, and somehow made it all work. But that version of real estate doesn't match the world we live in today. The pandemic accelerated the shift, but the writing was already on the wall. Automation, AI, team models, and an influx of new agents forever changed the game. You could no longer be a one-person show and expect to compete at a high level. The old model is failing you. Before 2020, many agents still bought into the myth that if you show up and hustle hard, the money will follow. But post-2020, that approach just doesn't scale. Real estate got crowded. More agents joined the field during the gold rush of the low interest rates and pandemic-fueled migration. online lead providers started charging more and more, delivering less and less. The tools multiplied, but so did the complexity. All that hustle led to what? Burnout? Mentally and physically? I know because I lived it. I built a team the traditional way, modeled after Gary Keller's Millionaire Real Estate Agent, or MREA book, packed with agents, admin staff, transaction coordinators, and marketing help. I followed the blueprint, and it nearly broke me. From the outside, we look like a success story. On paper, we're doing big volume. But in reality, I was the human equivalent of duct tape, holding everything together. If I stopped showing up, the whole machine stopped running. Oh, the money was flowing. But not to me. My margins were slim. My time was gone. My joy was even further out of reach. My burnout story. My first year in real estate came down to pure hustle. I knocked on doors, made calls late in the night, and worked 7 hours a week. 4 months in, I finally had my first closing. After the broker split, team leader cut, and all the fees, my paycheck was under $10. One heck of a commission, right? That didn't stop me. Within 3 months, I was putting 3 to 5 homes under contract every month. Hustle separated me from the pack. But after a year and a half, I began to realize something. This pace wasn't sustainable. I'll never forget sitting at the front desk of my brokerage covering a shift of desk duty. My team leader would just walk out halfway through the day to play golf. He was making more money than me while working fewer hours. He had leveraged that, and I didn't. I wanted that. When the team I was on dissolved, I decided to build my own. If I'm being honest, I saw dollar signs more than anything else. I thought the team would double my income and give me my freedom. Boy, was I wrong. The first mistake was hiring agents before hiring support. I poured my time and energy into training them instead of prospecting and building a financial base. I gave them high splits to keep them around, but many were only there for themselves. They took what they could, shook hands with brokers in the back office, and left. Office politics drained me. So did recruiting. The brokerage I joined pushed heavy incentives to bring agents in, but recruiting in the industry, it was cutthroat. People will lie just to get a signature. I hated it. To keep agents, I gave them my best splits, my time, my training. It wasn't enough. They only wanted one thing, leads. Like so many team leaders, I fell into the trap of buying them. At first, it seemed like a good idea, but soon agents stopped bringing in their own business. They started cherry picking the hottest buyers and ignoring anyone who needed some sort of nurturing. I was spending more, they were doing less, and my margins disappeared. Every time I tried to step back from production, revenue dropped. The team couldn't survive on paid leads alone. With commission splits, high overhead, and rising cost, I was actually making less money than I was just selling on my own. No matter how much energy I poured into it, the math didn't work. That's when burnout hit me. And it wasn't just physical exhaustion, it was mental. I dreaded phone calls. I snapped at people around me. I poured myself into my business that was draining the very life I was trying to protect. I tried other strategies. I let go of most of my agents and kept one or two on salary. But that only turned into a money pit as the market slowed after 2021. Out of desperation, I began outsourcing executive functions to virtual assistants. For the first time, I saw progress. Unlike salaried agents who complained that they weren't being paid enough, VAs took the task off my plate without draining my energy or my margins. For the first time, I felt relief. That was my turning point. Out of failure, frustration, and unrelenting desire to succeed, I began to build something different, something smarter, something leaner. That was the moment the Freedom Agent model was born, where the traditional model breaks down. Here's the uncomfortable truth most team leaders won't say out loud. Agents are hard to retain. Overhead is relentless. Commission splits chip away your profit. And nobody, and I mean nobody, cares about your business like you do. I remember waking up one day, staring at the team P&L, and realizing something sickening. I'm doing all of this work, building this thing with little to no gratitude, and everyone else is getting paid more than I am with a quarter of the stress. It's human nature to hold on to a business model when you see it working for other people. The problem is, we rarely stop to question if it's actually working for them. We're too busy trying to catch up to realize everyone is running in place. Perception is not reality. Reality is reality. And the reality is, if you got a look at the other team's books, you would realize exactly what I realized with my own business. The model wasn't sustainable. I had to pivot, and fast. Then came a moment that forever changed how I saw my business. I was sitting at my kitchen table, staring at my phone, and for the first time in my real estate career, I didn't feel the urge to pick it up. It was quiet. My daughter was napping, the house was calm, and I felt free. I realized I found a way to actually live, not just survive. My business was running, clients were being served, and I was no longer the bottleneck. I didn't need to put out every fire. I didn't need to carry the weight alone. And it all started with one decision: stop trying to do everything myself. What today's market demands. If you want to thrive as an agent today, you need three things. Number one, leverage. Systems and people who can do the 80% of work that you shouldn't be doing. Number two, focus. The ability to double down on the things that actually make you money. Three, profitability. A lean model that scales up income without scaling up stress. That's where the virtual model comes in. The real estate agent of the future doesn't work harder, they work smarter, supported by trained and skilled virtual assistants who handle all the heavy lifting. You don't need 14 agents on a team. You don't need $20,000 a month overhead or more. You don't need an office. You need a model. What that looks like. In the next few chapters, I'm going to walk you through the model I built after everything else failed. We'll look at the first hire that gave me my time back, the roles that matter and the ones that don't, how I built a lean, scalable team of VAs that now powers my business, why you can finally stop pretending you enjoyed door knocking. I'll show you the exact daily structure we use to keep everything running smoothly without me needing to micromanage everything. I've burned down the old model. Now it's time to build something better from the ground up. This is a model designed not just for success, but for freedom. The most important question is, what does true freedom look like to you? Top 20% of this chapter. The traditional real estate model is broken. Hustle alone no longer scales in today's market. My first commission check was under $10, even after months of 7-day-a-week hustle. Building a traditional team only made things worse: high splits, office politics, recruiting pressure, and agents who only wanted leads. Every time I tried to step back, revenue dropped. I was working harder than ever, and earnings were less than when I was solo. Burnout followed. Physical exhaustion, mental collapse, I dreaded phone calls, snapped at people, and realized that I had built a machine that only worked if I kept feeding it. The breakthrough came when I replaced salaried agents with virtual assistants. VAs reduced my costs, lifted tasks off my plate, and gave me relief. If your business stops when you stop, you don't own a business. You own a job with branding. The modern agent needs three things: leverage, focus, profitability. The virtual model delivers all three. The goal isn't to replace yourself overnight. It's to stop building a machine that breaks the moment you step away. All right, now let's cover down chapter three here. I really liked writing this. This was that light bulb moment that I think we all get when we know that we're on to something. And went through a lot of pain, right? It was financial, it was mental, like even physical exhaustion to some point. You know, I was out there door knocking in Florida heat. Like it was rough to be able to get to see where all that burnout came from. And I'm sure that you guys listening, like you've been there, right? Whether you're brand new to real estate or you've been in it for any length of time, you know what I'm talking about when we get into these things. And it's just so profound. And I'm sure that's a reason that you picked up this audiobook or got the actual book itself and wanted to change something. And that's the whole point that I was trying to convey is guys, I've been through this and it's it is actually really tough to get into here. But once I realized that the old model wasn't working anymore and we just were in a different system, I had to figure it out. And what I didn't include in this chapter was the financial mistakes that I kept making over and over again and just built up a mountain of debt to try to make this work. And then when it finally did click, I was like, oh, okay, now this even works in a down market too. And we're still being able to bring in profit and I still have tons of time to allot back either to my family or to pour back into the business or, you know, whatever I was trying to do. So I'm really excited to share this model with you. And I just wanted to let you know that you're not alone and we're going to get this, we're going to put this together for you the way that you need it. So let's get back into it. Let's get into chapter four. Chapter four, the Freedom Agent Framework. What if freedom isn't found in selling more, but in doing less with intention? I remember the moment everything came crashing down. I was in my home office. It was late, sometime after 11 p.m. My baby daughter had already been asleep for hours, and my wife had given up on waiting for me to go to bed. I was exhausted. I was staring blankly up at my screen, phone buzzing with another client, quote-unquote emergency. I was angry. Not at the client, but at myself. I'd built this business to create freedom, but I felt more trapped than ever. I was on every call, personally responded to every message, fixed every mistake myself. I was completely burnt out. And the worst part? I was the one who had built the system. Everything ran through me. I didn't just have a hand in every pot. I was constantly juggling all of them, doing whatever I could to make sure none of them crashed to the ground. I was the system. Clearly, the system was broken. That night, after answering yet another late-night text, I closed my laptop, walked into the nursery, and watched my daughter sleep. I had already missed so many huge moments in her little life. I missed her first steps, her first words. I can't even count the number of laughs and giggles and, heck, even cries I must have missed while locking up at the office or negotiating a deal or scheduling an open house or just fixated on my phone screen, waiting for a text on the grand scheme of things that really just didn't matter. I wasn't just missing my daughter's life. I was missing mine. What's the point of all this work? All the comforts success can bring if you don't even have time to enjoy them. I didn't want to be the guy who missed seeing his kids score the winning goal because he walked away to take a work call, or wasn't there to console her for finishing second in a spelling bee when she couldn't spell thermometer because he was babysitting a home inspector. Even when I was physically present, I was so distracted trying to keep those going that I missed too many of those quiet little moments where you look around the room at family and friends and reflect on what's truly important in life. It was then, just watching my baby daughter sleep, that I knew I had to change something. From Burnout to Blueprint, the Freedom Agent Framework. What followed became a blueprint for what I now call the Freedom Agent Framework. It's the model I wish I had when I started this business, the one that scales with you, not against you. There's a truth most agents miss. You don't need a massive team, an office full of people, or $25,000 marketing budget to build a powerful, profitable business. What you do need is to build in the right order strategically. Phase one, time freedom, executive assistant, and Client Fulfillment Manager, CFM. Time is your most valuable asset. Without time, you have nothing. So your first hire are going to be focused on buying your time back. The executive assistant handles your calendar, inbox, personal tasks, and putting out operational fires. Client Fulfillment Manager manages deals, coordinates showings, sends offers, and handles the buyer-seller experience. These two roles remove 60 to 80% of your daily chaos that keeps you from focusing on what actually grows your business. These roles will lessen your burden, taking you away from needing to have 100% of the conversations with clients, while giving you your freedom to look beyond the moment, to operate your business strategically and actually have a chance to live your life. Typical timeline to effective implementation, 4 to 6 months. Executive assistant, first hire. 2 to 3 months to train. Your client fulfillment manager, hire after your EA or executive assistant. 2 to 3 months to train. Now, guys, I'm going to jump off script here too. When it comes to putting these people in, the executive assistant can take really 2 to 3 months to train, but it could take longer. If you'd never had a virtual assistant or didn't have anybody that's worked for you before, it may take a little bit longer than the timelines that I'll give you in this book. However, with guided, experienced people or being in the right community, you can see how other people do it and learn from those people. And of course, I'll have more of that coming in here. But don't be too worried about these timelines if you're trying to get into it. It's just making sure that you do this in the right order. All right, let's get back to the content. Phase two, money freedom. Sales Virtual Assistant, ISA. Once you've reclaimed your time, the next step is boosting income without adding more hours to your day. Sales VA / Inside Sales Agent, ISA. Prospecting, cold calling, database cleanup, lead follow-up, all off your plate. They do the volume work so you can focus on converting. This position allows you to start moving away from in-person prospecting to a more leveraged model. The key is to have someone that can keep follow-up with your leads, since we know that around 70% of your real estate business comes from follow-up. This means more appointments, more contacts, more contracts, more income. Typical timeline for effective implementation, 2 to 4 months after phase one is complete. Phase three, location freedom, marketing VA. This is where the magic really happens. Marketing creative VA handles all social media, design, engagement, and branding. Marketing video VA or specialist manages YouTube, edits, SEO, thumbnails, scripting. This could also be a specialist that amplifies the specialty that brings in your top source of leads. Examples could be a cold caller, a stage finder, a blogger, SEO specialist, etc. And I'll jump off script here again, guys, too. For your marketing and things like that, when it comes to social media, a lot of your EA can help out with this at the very beginning. You don't have to wait for this position to come into place before you start delegating this out. Just know that this would be a person that is dedicated to doing this at the next level. All right, back to the content. This could be one or two positions. The key here is to move from direct prospecting to attraction marketing. You no longer need to prospect in person. Your marketing machine brings leads to you, even while you sleep, or better yet, while you're on vacation. Typical timeline for effective implementation, 2 to 4 months after phase two is complete. Throughout this book, we'll refer to the specialist as the, quote, marketing video, unquote, or, quote, video editor, unquote, VA. However, you can fit any other position into this timeline to effectively grow your business. Phase four, mental freedom. Operations manager / integrator. Finally, you build a business that runs without your constant oversight. Operations manager / integrator owns the systems. They task delegate, they do the reporting, project management, standard operating procedures, and team accountability. This person's your number two. They are your lieutenant. They run things for you. They ensure things get done without you having to keep everything up in the air by yourself. You're finally free to be the visionary. Typical timeline for effective implementation, 1 to 3 months after phase three complete. Freedom in four parts. It's important to implement these in the proper order. Most agents try to skip straight to the financial freedom. Some try to chase location freedom with no back-end support. That's a recipe for chaos. Build your freedom in the right order. Number one, time. Get out of the weeds. Two, money. Let someone else generate it. Three, mobility. Market from anywhere. Four, peace of mind. Know it's all handled. I know a lot of agents that want to skip ahead to the money phase and hire a sales VA right away. Trust me, I was there. I've made that mistake and more times than I want to admit. Having more business does not necessarily grow your business, not unless you start with a solid foundation. It made me feel like I was running for my life while on a treadmill. I was constantly moving, but going nowhere. The big sales team that I was supposed to push my business forward only ended up weighing me down. I caution you to learn from my experience. Stay the course and follow this model. It will save you tons of time, energy, and frustration. Seriously. The Freedom Agent Framework is not just a theory. It's how I built a $20 million per year business working 20 to 30 hours a week without missing my daughter's bedtime. And it started with a single decision. I'm not doing this alone anymore. Top 20% of this chapter. Freedom isn't about doing more. It's about doing less, better. The Freedom Agent Framework gives you the scalable hiring plan that unlocks four freedoms: time, money, location, and mental freedom. Phase one starts with hiring your executive assistant and your client fulfillment manager to get your time back. Phase two brings in your sales VA or ISA to build constant income without adding hours. Phase three allows you to hire a marketing VA to generate inbound leads without in-person prospecting. Phase four is all about mental freedom, removing yourself as a bottleneck by hiring an operations manager or integrator. You can't skip steps. Freedom is unlocked in sequence. Reclaim time, build revenue, gain mobility, then protect your mental bandwidth. Up next, before you start hiring your team, you first need to understand what stage you're in and what you need to delegate first. All right, so that's chapter four. I really love this chapter because it really starts to break down the path that you need to go down in the order which we need to do it. I really, really caution you as you start to put this together not to jump straight ahead, right? And to go straight for that ISA. I don't know how many conversations I've had in the past where this is where people are like, hey, I need somebody to generate more business. And I'm sure that it does sort of work, but it doesn't get you out of the hustle, right? It doesn't build the system and it doesn't give you clarity. It just gives you more. And I've done it. I had a team of ISAs. We had four of them on the team and it didn't actually help. I mean, our numbers again went up, but it didn't actually help with this. So, and one other thing too, I know I'm talking a lot about downplaying hustle. Hustle does work. Okay. It does work. The whole point of this is trying to get you out of it. So I know in the previous chapter, we talked and really kind of made hustle a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. And it's a great short-term thing that you guys can do to get your business going, but it's not sustainable over a long time. So if you get yourself in a bind, or maybe you're just first getting into this business, I think the hustle strategy is actually really good. You know, figure out what it is to get your momentum going, because real estate's a game of momentum, right? See what you got to do to get that momentum going. And once you do, be ready with the system to come in and then start to take the reins, right? And start to build this out. It's never too early to get somebody to start handling the things that don't directly bring money back into your business, right? that you should be doing. So that's what we do, is we take all those little menial tasks and we give those away first, and then we start to, you know, the bigger things start to give into our people. So anyway, just to say, I'm not demonizing hustle, but I'm really excited about this framework. Please do this in order. Don't make the same mistakes that I did. But all right, let's get into chapter 5.